Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
So I'm not an automobile expert. I don't even know why I said automobile car expert, but we know who's the Ferrari and who's the pickup truck over here. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Angola McKay and Mike Golick Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, this has been a really fun day. It's Monday, the start of the week, and we're already in some mess. Bob Baffert obviously has us talking about the biggest lies told in sports after the Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit. You know, the test came up positive, and now a whole lot of controversy has been ensued. And so continue to call us, 888-729-3776. And tell us what you think the biggest lie in sports history has been. And we've had some amazing callers, Junior. It's been entertaining.
We've had some really wild ones in here. If anyone else calls in and says that Rudy was offsides, I'm going to hang up on you.
No, I'm going to say
it's not funny anymore.
It's so funny for me. Just keep doing it. All right? That was a good one.
By the way, I feel like I'm actually okay with being the pickup truck in this metaphor. Like, okay. I remember someone telling me when I got, you know, when I ended up in Pittsburgh as an undrafted free agent, they're like, offensive linemen are great because they buy one truck in their life and they run that thing into the ground and you never have to worry about them making multiple car payments. So I like to think that I'm cheap and affordable like that.
Now I'm trying to think, like, if I were a car, what would I be? Probably like a Mustang. You know why, Junior? Because I'm a stallion, okay? But in about 10 minutes, we'll get back to telling you, finally, the teams you have to watch out for, especially teams that you do not want to see in the postseason. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. And in that spirit, let's talk a little NBA, because there are things that have been good. I think for a large portion of the season, with the struggles of stars being out there, we finally have stars making their mark. And so let's head to the Goodyear Hotline to speak with Royce Young, ESPN NBA reporter, particularly for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I think, you've done a great job, Royce, following Russell Westbrook. And as he's transitioned to Washington, it's been fascinating to see him being open to criticism but still delivering now that he's on the precipice of the all-time NBA triple-double record. And so, you know, as someone that has followed Russ, what do you think of this milestone and what it means to him?
Yeah, Shanae, I think that for Russell, I don't think that he ever really wanted to kind of publicly acknowledge that he wanted this because, I think that there's always been a little bit of an internal sensitivity for Russell about the triple-double narrative, because people really latched onto this idea that he was stat chasing or that he was doing it for individual reasons, which are things to me that, were knowing Russell, were always the furthest from the truth. If you ever watch Russell Westbrook on a night in and night out basis and have anything in your mind other than the fact that that guy wants to win a basketball game, then you weren't watching the right guy, because that's all I've ever seen from him. So, I think that he's always been a little bit reluctant to kind of lean into the triple double thing. I think he's done it at times when he's hit these milestones, whether it was averaging the triple double for the first time or the 42 that he did when he broke Oscar's single season record. But I do think that Russell he clearly understands the history, the significance of it. And to be kind of branded as something in the NBA is a good thing. To be known as Mr. Triple Double is something that I think that Russell will be very, very proud of over time. And for me, Shanae, I look at Russell Westbrook, and he's going to go down as somebody he probably won't ever win a championship unless something changes. He's got the MVP. He's always been one of the most criticized, polarizing players. We've discussed him for almost 15 years now. But I think that this is just one of those things that's just going to strengthen his legacy. I think that he is going to be a player that his career ages very gracefully, and then we're going to look back on Russell Westbrook and remember him as one of the most unique players that has ever played this game. Much in the same way I think that we look at Iverson and his career has aged well, I think Russell Westbrook is going to do the same thing.
Royce, I think to that end, we talk so much about the players who have never won championships, and Charles Barkley's usually the first name out of people's mouths of a guy with the kind of accolades he had, a Hall of Fame career, but not the title. When it's all said and done, because of Russ being branded and having this specific thing, do you think he probably slots above Barkley as now the new reigning example of how great you can be without a championship resume?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, and you mentioned it, but we are so fixated on the title thing being like the end-all be-all to settle whether or not a player was great or not, which is clearly silly. I mean, when it comes to somebody like Westbrook, yeah, if he had a championship, now we're talking about a top 10 player ever. So, oh, he's, you know, he may be a top 30 or top 25 or top 20 ever. And it's like, that's where the championship thing comes into a discussion, right? Is like, where when you're laying out the career accolades and you're trying to decide, and you know, we love to have these discussions of where you place these players. That's like the ultimate thing that like separates like the elite tier, is when you can stamp the championship ring next to their name. And then it becomes about how many championship rings. So look, there's been a limited number of great players throughout every sport that win titles. It's hard to win them. And in the NBA, you look at the teams that have won championships over the last 30 years, there's not a whole lot of them. There's a lot of repeat champions. So we're talking, you can't just eliminate greatness based on that one piece of criteria. And so when you look at him, like Russell Westbrook compared against a guy like Charles Barkley, or, you know, Patrick Ewing, somebody that people have always talked about that never won a title. A lot of these great players, it doesn't eliminate them from anything other than maybe the complete upper crust of greatness. But I would put Russell Westbrook as maybe, you know, to your question, I think he's got a good case to be known as maybe the greatest player that never won a title, which, that's not necessarily a bad title to own, right? If you're going to be the greatest player that never won a title, I don't think that's a slight in any way. That's not saying you weren't great.
Very true. Chenangelo Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Royce Young, ESPN NBA reporter, who's telling us the great human aspect of, you know, competing. Even though you may not win a title, you might still be a very great, you know, player. But, you know, I have one final question, because it's interesting. We see LeBron James had a full practice today and he's like feeling really good about his ankle. Do you think Anthony Davis's performance sort of motivated the King a little bit to return a little quicker?
Yeah, I mean, look, and plus LeBron's got to have some motivation, Shanae, to try to get out of that play-in game, right? Like they are firmly in that, and they need some things to go their way. But I think for LeBron, you know, it's a good question for the Lakers right now of, you know, they're trying to walk the fine line of prioritizing health between AD and LeBron, because look, whether they're the 7th seed, the 8th seed, whatever, a healthy LeBron, a healthy AD, I don't care who they're playing in the first round, like that is a terrifying team for the Jazz or the Suns or whoever draws the Lakers. So like that's priority one for the Lakers, but they also would much prefer, I think, in some ways to not have to worry about the play-in scenario. Even though, if you look at it, Shanae, it might not be all that bad for the Lakers to land in the 7th seed. Yeah, you got to earn your way in to the postseason. But if you're the 6th seed, you're playing the Clippers in the opening round, which is a little bit of a daunting task. Whereas you get the upstart Suns, even though they've been good, like that's a team that's ripe for an upset right there. So it's not all that bad for the Lakers. But yeah, if you're LeBron, you're motivated to get back out there just to get geared up for the postseason.
Motivated LeBron James tends to be a terrifying thing for pretty much everyone standing in his wake. So we're excited to see what that looks like coming up here real soon. Follow him on Twitter at Royce Young and check him out. Always does a great job reporting around the association and especially on the OKC Thunder. Royce, we appreciate your time,
Royce.
Man. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me, y'all.
All right, Janae, and Royce touched on a lot of great things there. The Russell Westbrook conversation is always a fascinating one because he is such a difficult person to try and put in any sort of easy box, right? Like I always said with Tim Duncan, he's a multi-time champion, but as far as his all-time conversation, we got to put him in the easy box of, well, he's the greatest power forward to ever play, and then not really have any further discussion. Russ has always been a little bit more of an enigma, and so finding ways to properly place him has always been a difficult thing, but I think he makes a great point. Having your name greatest ever blank, no matter what follows in that space, mm-hmm. tends to be better than most of us could ever hope for.
Greatest ever women's basketball player and also broadcaster. I'll take that.
Listen, you know what? Right now, feeling pretty good about your chances. Coming up next, though, as we talk about good feelings here, we unfortunately have news on the complete opposite end of that. One NBA team losing a bright star for the remainder of the season. What this means for the postseason and what this says to us about the year that we've just been through. We'll get to that next. Chenangelo Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is a cold world. I mean, we're getting to some tough news in the hoops world. And here are the updates. Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogunmakaye and Mike Golic Jr. Now, this all sort of centers in the Eastern Conference what we just experienced with news in the last 5 minutes. On one hand, James Harden, this is an update on him, our Malika Andrews, ESPN NBA insider, reported on our other insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, who was on SportsCenter, and said that James Harden may be returning to the Nets as soon as Wednesday versus the Spurs. It's not, you know, for sure or certain, but the idea that James Harden, when he said not too long ago he'll be back, well, it looks like that timeline is very soon. Now, right now, the Nets are firmly pretty much in the two position because they're about three losses back of the 76ers at one overall, and they're getting their star back in James Harden. And so it seems like things are trending in a positive direction after the number of injuries to their stars. Now, on the other side, Junior, not necessarily the case for another Eastern Conference team. The Boston Celtics are currently in the seventh spot in the East, and the Celtics just announced that Jaylen Brown, all-star guard, is out for the rest of the season with a torn ligament in his wrist. So this is obviously really difficult news for Boston Celtics fans. You've seen a couple of games and stretches where Jason Tatum has been tough, Jaylen Brown has been tough, and those two are huge cogs in their machine. Now they're down. One of them, Jaylen Brown, out for the rest of the season with a torn ligament in his wrist. And Junior, like, this is the part for a hooper that makes it really difficult. When it's your wrist, you know, that's a pain point, but it just is like you can have your whole body and then you're just casted on your hand. And so, like, it's very frustrating, especially, you know, shooting matters, dribbling matters, but, like, a wrist injury after persevering throughout this entire season and that being the thing that sort of changes the trajectory of maybe what your team will experience in the playoffs, really tough news for Boston Celtics fans.
Oh, yeah, Chiney, and unfortunately it's been par for the course this year, right? As we've talked about teams that have had a difficult time bouncing back in the short turnaround that this NBA season brought with it, Boston's been near the top of that list. This has been a team that hasn't been able to be really healthy or get right all year, and so if we're talking about a play-in team, now it's worth looking at the Eastern Conference and noting that the Celtics are the seventh seed, the eighth seed is the Charlotte Hornets, then the ninth seed is the Wizards, tenth is the Pacers. And a reminder that in the play-in format, seven plays eight, the winner of that goes on, and the loser then faces the winner of the 9-10 game and still has an opportunity. So, Chiney, they could lose there and in theory play the Wizards or the Pacers, but as we look at them now, LaMelo back in a Hornets uniform here, the way Washington's looked with Russell Westbrook as of late, like, these all looked like matchups that just got it even more difficult for a Celtics team that had been struggling and is now down one of their two star players.
Yeah, and I think the point that really highlighted the Celtics' struggle, even in the biggest moments with Jason Tatum, where he like dropped 50 something, he said in that press conference, "I take an inhaler before the game." And, you know, he dealt with COVID. A number of his teammates dealt with COVID. You know, some of their players, Kemba Walker started the year later. They've dealt with, and remember, there were even almost, we were almost to the point where like, should Brad Stevens be on the hot seat? Like, people were talking about the Celtics disappointing, you know, having a disappointing season. And I think this is just a reminder that this year is grueling. You see a lot of stars sitting out being managed. And now, you know, a wrist injury now is the end of Jaylen Brown, you know, so far this season, because they're saying he's out for the rest of the year. And so it has not been easy for a number of teams. So when you see those success points, you really have to say, wow, they have really managed this year that had been so difficult for so many other teams.
We remember the argument, Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, when the NBA was getting ready to come back, of so many players opposed to that start around Christmas Day, but the NBA pointing out the dollars and cents reasons why these things had to happen. But as we go forward, when people talked about players not liking the play-in games, the one thing, and it was J.A. Donde, our former colleague, who put out there, if the play-in tournament costs you, if it costs you the Boston Celtics, if the play-in tournament costs you the Los Angeles Lakers, we're blaming the wrong thing if that's the case with the play-in, because the only things that have cost this team are injury, are having to play in a global pandemic, are what we've seen happen because of the circumstances they've played around and the circumstances that led to that quick turnaround, the quickest we've ever seen for the NBA, Chiney. And again, I've said it a bunch. I know after the season, we'll probably get some report that'll much more definitively try and attack how much the turnaround affected injuries, what the uptick was, what we could correlate to. But anecdotally, we can all see what's gone on. Teams have had a difficult time, especially some of the most successful ones. So if you've got the Celtics getting bounced early, you can blame that quick turnaround from last season far more than you're going to blame any damn tournament.
Oh, absolutely. And the play-in, I understand why it's frustrating, because you worked so hard to get to this point in the season, and now it's at the whims of one or two games versus an entire series. And Junior, I think you do a great job of laying it out. 7 and 8, the loser plays 9 and 10, the winner of that. Because a lot of people may not understand the true tournament format of what the play-in means. But, like, it's crazy. You look at the Philadelphia 76ers, because we're talking about the East, where we got an update from James Harden saying that he's likely to return. And this is a team that has been extremely conservative with their stars when, you know, and even James Harden suffered a step back. Oh, my gosh. Look what I said. Suffered a step back.
And listen, if there's any slip of the tongue that's understandable, it's that. Like, that is the next word out of our mouth 9 out of 10 times talking about James Harden. So he did suffer a step back, and so did everybody else.
A setback. But the reality is, you just, like, having your mind, like, you're glad that he was able to manage that setback so that it didn't preclude him from playing the rest of the year. This is a year where those things are more likely, the bad things are more likely based on the limited turnarounds. I talked to Seth Curry not too long ago. The podcast is on our Chiney and Golic Jr. Podcast channel. And he was saying, even for veteran players, you know, a lot of the young players, it's like you come in, come into the league, you bounce around, you're still doing your funny stuff. Like, you have energy for everything. For the veteran players, this year has been the biggest adjustment, just because you're usually prisoner to your routine. But the setup this year doesn't allow you to do that, to get on the court, to get that number of treatment based on COVID protocols, where maybe a massage therapist that you see on the East Coast is not available. You know, like, those little things actually amount in the harder ways to carry through a season. And I thought that brought, you know, unique perspective. But I was going through the list, and, you know, the Bucks have been fortunate, the Knicks and the Hawks. But there's certain teams like the Miami Heat that were just in the NBA Finals, the Boston Celtics that are constantly in the Eastern Conference mix in the playoffs. Those two teams, if you put them on an even ground, they should be at the top of the standings, but it's the circumstances outside of their control. Maybe the turnaround, the proclivity possibly to injuries, and then just dealing with the situations with the pandemic that put them in the play-in situations. And that's a really difficult position to be in if you're Boston.
It's a great reminder about veteran teams that also factors in this, because you're right. The first thing I heard when I got into the NFL was, grab a veteran and learn their routine. Learn from them how you're supposed to do all this and try and get on that schedule. And you see guys so firmly ingrained in all that, that you're right. Any deviation of that, everyone from the outside looks and said, what's there to worry about? But as you go along, I mean, hell, we talk all the time on and off air for you now going back as a player who's nearing 30 years old. It takes a little more to start warming up and get going than it used to when we were all in our early 20s, and you roll out of there and you're like a little kid. You can go for days. Everything works the right way. Now it's like, all right, I got to make sure I have like a 45-minute stretch program just to, for me to get to an Orange Theory, let alone to get out on the court and do something for real.
That's the first time someone has told me I'm nearing 30 years old, so I think it actually hit me. Like, oh, snap. Like, I am nearing 30. And then, two, you're absolutely right, Junior. Our gym opens at 7:30. I am there at 7:30. Our practice starts at 9. I come in, take my time, get my COVID test. I go roll on the foam roller. I get the Hypervoltin, the Theragun. My trainer warms me up. I hop on the bike. I do my activation, my exercises. I go see my trainer, and then I step on the court. And when I step on the court, I do my stretches, and then I grab a ball. That's
right,
it. Like that's an hour and a half.
Before you even think about touching a basketball, like, everyone just marinate in that. Every weekend warrior who's ever laced them up at the Y, anyone who, like me, went for a hike this morning and wondered why for the first 20 minutes of it, it felt like I was breathing through a straw. It's because it takes a little longer for all of us to get to full speed now. The difference is, when I get to full speed, I'm already home. When Shanae gets to full speed, she's got to do a whole practice after that.
Yes, correct. You're right.
And that goes true for all of the NBA players that we talked about.
Yep.
All these teams that got used to one thing and then not only had it upended for a short season, but had that short season occur and finish inside of a bubble where everything about the way they went about life was different, and then said, all right, we're going to throw you back into the normal stuff here. about 4 months ahead of schedule. Go and have fun. And so if you're wondering why things have gone this way, I don't know if you've been paying attention all that much. But coming up next, if you've been paying attention, then you've also noticed some of the teams that have started to heat up at the right time. Some of the teams that, as we always hear this time of year, you don't want to see in the postseason. We'll give you our definitive top four list of those teams next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Man, Bob Baffert's lies involving Medina Spirit got us out of sorts today. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Got us acting different, talking different. It's Janae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, I promise you, we will get to the four teams that you don't want to see in the postseason. You don't want that smoke. But first and foremost, Junior, we've been talking all day about these lies, the greatest lies in sports. I think the worst lie in sports, period, maybe we decided on Lance Armstrong. The worst lie, sport, baseball, I mean, that one is just way too complicated.
Yeah.
Worst lie of our time, Ryan Lochte. Yeah, that situation. And I actually searched it during the break. Like, he and a couple swimmers claimed they were held up at gunpoint while taking a late night taxi during the Rio games, and like all craziness ensued. And that story just involving Olympics and Darling American and all the chia and then stuck in countries. That was interesting. You brought up another one. I don't know if it's like classified as a lie, but the situation involving the balls not too long ago, the Ball Brothers.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had one of the Ball Brothers stuck in China after a shoplifting incident. It was just like, again, I don't know if there's a lie there. And like, I guess to cover ours, like, we're not saying Bob Baffert is a liar or anything like that. We're just saying that what he has said does not sound believable, and that him looking like Will Ferrell's character from Eastbound and Down makes me really have a difficult time believing him. Janae, we've stumbled into some pretty incredible ones. And this was also partially inspired. I want to give credit to Francisco Lindor. Mets player, a star, we know, came over here, got $1 million more in his contract than, I believe, than Fernando Tatis Jr. in his. All that money has struggled a bit this season. And then Friday, in their game, there was a bit of an altercation with one of his teammates in the tunnel. They went down there. There was all this commotion and confusion. And when he came to the post-game press conference, like, Chene, this was such a blatant lie that their GM came out after and was basically like, I don't know why these guys concocted this story about what was a pretty benign altercation, but here was Francisco Lindor flashing his $300 million smile in front of the New York media, saying and claiming that the argument he had with a teammate was about whether or not they saw a rat or a raccoon.
It was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting. I want to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Who was he? Who were you debating that with?
With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
Why did, you know, kind of half the dugout bench kind of rush down there and see where you and Jeff were?
Because of the rat, man. They couldn't believe that we were going back and forth between a raccoon and a rat. I swear this thing was pretty big.
This MLB weekend recap is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma.
Okay, I've
Get
got another
Credit
submission.
Karma money. Progress starts here. You got another submission.
The tunnel gate that happened between the Clippers and, was it Rondo, remember? Like, someone spit on someone and someone didn't.
Oh, yes, like, the secret tunnels and all that?
Yes, that was a pretty good one. That was a pretty good one.
Tunnelgate was incredible. Keep those coming as I kick my camera here at Chinay and at Mike Golic Jr. If we've got any more great lies in sports like Tunnelgate, I had forgotten about that one. But Chinay, in the interest of getting back in the tunnel and getting towards something remotely resembling sports that are happening right now, we're down the home stretch of the NBA season. We know the one thing people love bringing up is the team you don't want to see in the postseason. And so we put it all together and made you a list. Here's our top four teams you don't want to see in the postseason.
A-List with no limits.
In the kitchen, cooking, good Lord.
The heat.
As long as it stops at 4.
The heat is on the stove.
444.
For real, though.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Also, if you guys see me flinch, there's a bug in this room that has flown in my nose 3 times.
Has it really? Why didn't you just, like, take one for the team?
I'm trying, but I can't catch it. It's a very small bug. It's really messing up my flow. And so any of my speech mess-ups are now excused because this bug is in the room.
Just
so,
don't eat it.
Number 4.
Number 4.
Going to try not to eat it. The team no one wants to see today, it has to be the Miami Heat, like fresh off being the team no one wanted to see in last year's postseason. Jimmy Butler, when he's not berating former teammates, has actually led a group that has managed to overcome so many season-long injuries that I feel like they just always got to be on this list.
Look, it doesn't matter who's out there. They're going to play you hard. They're going to slow down the game. They're going to be physical. They're going to use their small ball. And it's always going to be a game, so I understand that. Yes, this team will always be on that list.
Number 3.
Number 3.
The Portland Trail Blazers feel like they qualify in this. Damian Lillard is a guy that if this was a few weeks ago when he was slumping, this team didn't look as great, we might have had questions about. But Dame has been probably the best Western Conference guard outside of Steph Curry for a long stretch of this season, especially as we get towards the postseason. And we know, fresh off beating the Lakers in a very important game, it looks like they're going to get to dodge the play-in, Chiney, and be the thorn in somebody's side the normal route.
Dame time all day, every day. This is someone that can catch heat, and he's not afraid of the big shot. So if you're in a close game in the play-in, in the playoffs, and the ball's in his hands, just plan for the next one.
I think that bug actually went in my mouth, and I think I just felt myself swallow it. Number 2.
Number 2.
My dad always used to say it's good protein. Number 2. This is off solely the efforts of one man. We have talked so much about it. This is Steph reminding us what we've missed out on, all of that. Bottom line on this one, Chiney, is nobody wants to see a hot Steph Curry. And he's been liberated. He doesn't have to play there free-flowing, share the ball with everybody off. There's no one to share it with anymore. It is Steph riding on against everyone. He is Jon Snow in Battle of the You-Know-Whats, facing off against Ramsey Bolton's army, one man against the world, and I still am betting on that one man.
Steve Kerr. Steve, one of my favorite coaches, favorite human beings. Let Steph play. Let him destroy every record. 40-something points in 20-something minutes. Imagine if he played 40, Shody. Like, the record books would go crazy, but I understand keeping him motivated, so I get what you're doing.
I get it, but let him play in some of these fourth quarters. You're right. Think of the people for once, Steve. Think of the people. And by the way, giving the people what they want. Number 1.
Number 1.
Shout out to our very own Shannon Penn, producer extraordinaire. Proud fan of the 4 seed New York Knicks. Janae, I'm sorry. Like, the Knicks have been something that I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop on all year, but they get what Brian Windhorst called, I think, the biggest win for the Knicks in like 7 years over the Clippers this weekend. And they roll into this postseason, Janae. They're the team no one wants to face. I'll tell you exactly why, because the Knicks as a collective team are the guy in pickup hoops who plays defense way too hard. Like, they're going to be all up in your grill in a way that nobody likes to actually be bothered with, even if talent-wise, they're going to get swept up eventually by one of these top-end Eastern Conference teams.
See, you know what's not, like, the Knicks are, like, it's not necessarily, like, cute or sexy, but they get it done. Like, they grind, they finish, they improve, but you're right. Like, they're that person that plays in pickup and, like, is just a machine. Like, I'm out there not doing too much, but always going hard. So I guess they could be number one. Like, clearly Shannon had a hand in this list. Like, listen, number one?
Listen, I just think the Knicks are going to be that thorn in somebody's side, even if it doesn't mean they end up win a playoff series. Because we said earlier on the show, they don't got to win one for this team season to be a success, Chiney. They've already gotten there.
Oh, gosh.
But if they get you in a playoff series, I feel like it's going to be 6, probably 7 games of just grit and grinding and teeth gnashing and all these things that no one really wants to see. Because you have to remember that Tom Thibodeau is still coaching that team.
If the Knicks win a playoff series, I'm taking off ESPN the next day, because all the New Yorkers are going to be going crazy. Wild.
It's going to look like a college town burning couches after a big win in a postseason bowl game. So that's our top 4 list of teams you don't want to see in the postseason, at Chiney and at Mike Golic Jr. if you got any beef with it. But coming up next, Speaking of people who used to play pickup hoops, apparently getting ready to do big things, we've got someone who needs to drop the album before he heads out of the country to play some basketball. We'll tell you who that is next. Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Men lie, women lie, but you know Chené and Golic Jr. don't. It's us on ESPN Radio, streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chené Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. I really don't think I've ever lied to you, Junior, and I don't think you've ever lied to me, so let's keep that same energy. But first, we have to salute everyone who joined us today, our friend David Jacoby of Jalen and Jacoby, you see on ESPN. Mina Kimes, our own ESPN NFL analyst, also you see her on NFL Live. She joined and talked to us about Tim Tebow, tight end, Jacksonville. Interesting. Just the start we needed on a Monday. And Royce Young was just here not too long ago, ESPN NBA reporter. And he's followed, you know, Russell Westbrook's career starting in OKC at, well, actually, technically Seattle, right, Shannon? Starting in Seattle, bouncing to OKC, and now with Washington after he recorded the 181st triple-double of his career, tying Oscar Robertson's all-time NBA record. And so he will hold the standard there. That was a fun conversation, just sort of give him a little bit of his roses and his flowers in real time. And right after that, we had a difficult conversation about the NBA and how difficult this season has been after the Celtics have just announced that Jaylen Brown is out for the rest of the season with a torn ligament in his wrist. Again, Jaylen Brown out for the rest of the season, wrist injury that will need surgery. I believe they said, you know, by the end of this week or early next week, he will have that surgery. So that was a damper on our beautiful otherwise Monday where we were in some unique conversations based on some sports lies. And this is what happens when I leave the show to you when I'm at practice, Junior.
Yeah, listen, I can't help myself sometimes, all right? I get caught up in the wrong things around here, but we just had too much of it to overcome on a Monday. It was a strange weekend of sports headlines that we had to get through and two, and they're only getting weirder. Let's finish it off the right way and keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chené and Golic Jr.
All right, Chené, keeping that same energy. Seattle Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf ran the 100 meters in 10.37. He finished 15th out of 17th in an event attempting to qualify and see if he could be someone that went out there and made enough noise to run in the Olympics or do anything like that. What did you think of DK's performance over the weekend?
So impressive. And if he had proper training, he would probably be able to carry that stamina for the full 100 yards. But honestly, or is it meters? Yeah, meters. But you know what's crazy? That 40, which he trained for, he crushed the 40. Like, he was at the front of the pack on the 40, which he trained for. If you imagine what he would have done for the full length, he could probably have a promising track career as well.
Chené, I liken the track community to the scene in Avengers Age of Ultron, when everyone's drunk and sitting around trying to pull up Thor's hammer to see if they're worthy. And everyone in the track community was like Thor. They looked at Captain America like there's no way he's going to do it. And then it flinched a little bit, and they got kind of nervous. And I have a feeling DK Metcalf made a lot of people nervous coming over here, acquitting himself well. Big props for trying to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But, Chené, someone else trying to make it happen. J. Cole, the popular rapper whose album I am waiting on to drop this Friday, hurry up already, is now expected to play for the Rwanda Patriots BBC in the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League, sources told the Undefeated at ESPN. Chené, you know more about his background in hoops than me. How are we liking his chances of actually going out here and giving people buckets?
Collegiate hooper, even though a rapper, still consistently has been in the gym, and he's not one of those like rappers that go in the gym and try to act like they can play. Like he has the pedigree of a D1 player. And so for him to play in the Basketball Africa League, this is exactly, as someone that's Nigerian, I love to see an ambassador go there. But, like, he's a player first. This man will give them buckets. J. Cole is a bucket. But, yeah, we need that album, like, Friday, right before my game, please.
I was going to say, man, like, come on. Like, you put out the intro, like, last weekend, and it was great. It was everything I expected.
Visuals, crazy.
Just release the rest of it now and help us all out. But, Chené, as we finish up here, keeping that same energy, sports oddities aside, we had a sports icon that is now leaving us here at the worldwide leader. Kenny Mayne, who has been a SportsCenter anchor that everyone has known and watched for years, tweeted earlier that he is leaving ESPN. We wish him well in whatever he goes on to do next, Chiney, but this is a guy, getting to know him around here, was never too big to have a conversation with anyone. He came in and was larger than life to me, and yet always had time to sit and talk. His heart is in the right place in so many avenues in life. He's been an unbelievable teammate here, and could not wish him any more of the best and thank him for everything he's done here.
Couldn't have said it better myself. As someone that has owned his voice, that's what we aspire to do in real time here on Chiney and Golic Jr. Be yourself at the highest level, be prepared, and also keep the door open for those who come after you. And so Kenny Mayne, we really, man, this is it's a tough day to see him go.
It is, but he left it better than he found it, and that's all any of us can ever hope to do. We hope we left it better than we found it here on ESPN Radio. Stay tuned next. Erica Wheeler of the Sporks going to join Spain and Fitz at 8:30 Eastern coming up next on ESPN Radio.
Sporks.
Thanks for listening to Chiney and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.